You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We like to share stories here on Faith and Family that encourage you to get out and serve in your community. And we have a great story today to share with you that tells you about some folks who have done just that. They saw a need in their community and stepped up to the opportunity to serve and meet those needs. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo there. Joining me by phone today, Kevin Jamison. He's the CEO and co-founder of Veterans Community Project. Kevin, welcome to Faith and Family.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you as our guest today on Faith and Family, and looking forward to learning more about the Veterans Community Project. Before we get too deep into what it is and what the Veterans Community Project does, can you give us just a little idea, a foretaste of what is Veterans Community Project, and then we'll talk a little bit about the history, how it started, and why you got involved as well.
Sure. Most people don't know about Veterans Community Project because they've never heard the name, but if we say we're the group that are building tiny houses for homeless veterans in Kansas City, that's how people recognize us. We came up as an organization. We were working with homeless veterans in various capacities, and we got tired of watching veterans fall through the cracks and not receive the services they needed to recover from homelessness. And we decided that we were going to do something about it in our community. And so we came up with the name Veterans Community Project because we wanted to bring veterans together to attack a veteran problem. And we also wanted to be an avenue for the community to give back to veterans. And we wanted to be a community of veterans helping. And just the name, that's how we came about.
Tell me about your career in the Armed Forces.
I served 20 years in the Marine Corps, three tours in Iraq. I was in Haiti in 94, and then part of a rescue mission in Albania in 97.
Before we get to your return, what led up to you wanting to serve in this way, serving with the Marines?
I have one of my Marines that was from my first tour in Iraq that called me when I was about to graduate from college a couple of years ago. And after I retired, I wanted to start my life over and get a degree. So I went back to school, and my Marine called me, and he was struggling. He was going through some issues, and I stayed on the phone with him for a while. And when I hung up the phone, it was a very life-changing conversation. I decided that that's what I wanted to do. It just gave me a sense of purpose that I wanted to be there to help other veterans that couldn't help themselves or advocate or born as recovered from combat, you know, the trauma associated with combat PTSD as I had. And I wanted to help them down that road to recovery. So that's when I applied for a job at a homeless shelter and got it.
So this was all from one fellow veteran that you learned about. What did you see? What did you learn about the needs of other veterans in your community?
When I started work at the home shelter, I was doing street outreach for a homeless veteran program called SSVF. And what I was discovering was that veterans, first of all, I was a veteran, so I was very successful at speaking with them and working with them. But I was discovering that the veterans were, they weren't advocating for themselves. Some of them had been told no for so long that they weren't even asking for help anymore. They felt shunned by the system, by society. A lot of them had just given up, and it was heartbreaking. You know, I watched veterans that could get help not get it. I watched veterans that not qualify for programs, and that's basically why we started, was I was saying no to more veterans than I was helping through a program because of the restrictions associated with the grant money. It was a VA grant, and those restrictions prevented me from serving a certain class of veterans. Either they didn't have enough active duty time, or they didn't deploy long enough. You know, Missouri National Guard that doesn't deploy, they don't qualify for VA services unless it's it meets certain conditions. And it was heartbreaking to watch some of these people that were out there suffer on the streets, and that's, you know, being you know, in combat and losing, watching people die on a battlefield, you know, I wasn't about to let any of my brothers and sisters die on the streets of my hometown.
So you worked at a homeless shelter. You saw this need in your community. What was it that really sparked the launch of Veterans Community Project?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's real simple. It was Memorial Day of 2015. It was that weekend, and it was Friday. We had been working with a veteran, and basically, long story short, is he ended up getting thrown out of his apartment. His stuff was put in the lawn and it being rained on, and his service animal had been picked up by animal control. And Chris, the co-founder, one of the co-founders, and I, we were at a barbecue at his house that weekend, and we decided enough was enough, that we had just seen too many vets suffer, and this was a family that was put out on the streets, and you know, they basically had nowhere to go. And Chris put the family up in a hotel over the weekend until we could get them in a shelter, and we decided enough was enough. We wanted to be a place, a refuge of that was combating homelessness on both ends, not just trying to solve it by providing tiny homes that, you know, restored dignity, but also we're attacking the front end as well, preventing veterans from hitting the streets.
So tell me about the tiny house village, this veterans village that you've established. How does it work? How does the program work?
Well, we're not housing veterans yet because when we bought the land, there was no sewer on the land. So we expect to have the sewer installed and be housing veterans by July or August. How the program works is really simple. We seek corporate sponsors or private sponsors for a home. They donate the money to build the home. We build it. We build it using ourselves. We partner with local trade unions and local businesses and volunteers to build the homes. We even have homeless veterans that come out and help us build. And then after the homes are built, what we do is we're always out on the streets talking to the veterans on the streets, outreaching them, making sure that their needs are met currently and that they're safe. And what we also do is we measure, and we use a tool that is common in social services called the ISPADAT. And we measure their vulnerability to homelessness. And the higher they score on that scale, the higher their priority to receive a home. And what our goal is after the houses are built, we're going to build 10 houses and then house 10 veterans at a time. And the goal is to walk out on the street, hand them a key, and remove all obstacles between them and their own home. And we're identifying the veterans. There's no application process because we fear if there is an application process, then what happens is we're going to have people applying to live there that are already in a house or apartment that might think our home is nicer or something like that. And our homes are transitional housing. The veteran can stay there, we say, as long as they need to recover, but we're hoping to keep most stays under 18 months. But the veteran can stay there as long as they need to, and we're going to stay by their side. And we're not attacking homelessness specifically. We're already beating that by providing them a home. What we're attacking are the symptoms and causes of homelessness. We're attacking the addiction, the mental health issues, the employment issue, the legal issues. We're attacking all the issues surrounding that person, whatever they may be. And we're providing a village which provides social support and structure for the veterans to support each other in the recovery from homelessness.
So it's not just a housing, but housing with these comprehensive services that, yeah, that really address what leads to homelessness.
Yeah. What I tell people is when I'm speaking to different groups is that, you know, most veteran programs that house veterans end when they house a veteran. And that's why a couple of veterans that I worked with were housed by different organizations, and I went to see them in their house, and they had no furniture, no food, no utensils to cook or eat with. And because they housed a veteran, they considered it a success. Well, our program begins with housing, and our success is watching that veteran transition from the streets to to their own permanent house with a permanent solution, with items they stay, with their dignity restored, with employment, or income, with, you know, self-respect, and then a sense of community. And also, I think one of the keys that we're going to be bringing to them by building this community is providing social support. And for the veteran has a place to go always.
When, let's go back to when you first returned home.
Uh-huh.
What was it like adjusting to life here in the States after all the ways that you had served and all that you had seen in your service?
For me, the adjustment when returning from a tour of duty is difficult. Your family's learned to function without you. There's just so many things that have changed, and you're coming back, and you want things to go back to right to the way they were, but everything's changed, and it's an adjustment period. And if you don't have the social support, you don't have the family, you don't have the friends that can help you guide you through that in a healthy manner, the stresses of combat, they don't leave your side when you leave combat. And sometimes some people handle that better than others, and it can be a struggle. And there's a lot of social stigmas associated with PTSD that, and unfortunately sometimes it's got bad connotations when, it's something that can be battled and you can beat it. And it just takes a lot of work and a lot of help and a lot of people being there, and it takes a community. And, that's, transition from combat. The transition from the military to the civilian world was, for me, I had been in the military for 20 years. It was significant. I lost my identity. I went from wearing a uniform, having rank one day to the next day it's done. And there was no smooth transition out. It was just done, and it was very shocking. It was very humbling. It was devastating, and you have to learn how to function. Luckily, I had family around me. I had friends. I had employment, and I had friends where I worked at, and that had gone through the same transition. So I had a good support network, and a lot of veterans don't have that. And we want to be there for them. Those guys, the young guys transitioning back in the community, we're hoping that they reach out to us at Veterans Community Project, and we can begin helping them transition back in the community. It's huge.
Those who don't have that network of support, do they often find themselves in isolation?
It can lead to that. Every person's struggle is unique, and how they, some people are equipped to overcome it and some people aren't, and it can very easily lead to that. But it's a case by case basis. But, if you look at the statistics for homelessness, and you look at the veteran population, there's a significant, significant portion of the homeless population that are veterans, and there's a reason for it. And we are trying to attack it in our community.
So what are the ways then that you see this Veterans Community Project doing that? We've talked about housing, but also these comprehensive services that will help help them through some of the challenges that veterans face that lead to homelessness.
We do that through advocacy and awareness. If you look at our Facebook page, we mention a lot of issues that concern veterans. We address them, and we make the community aware of those issues. Sometimes we meet veterans with unique needs, and we'll post it up there. But the way you attack it is as a community, and that's our goal. Is we want to leverage the community to support these problems, to support a veteran's recovery from these problems. It's quite people often ask, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? And I'm like, I work every day, and I walk into buildings and businesses, and I ask, say, here's the problem. How would you like to help us? And I have yet to have anyone tell me no or say that they don't want to help or can't help. So our philosophy is we basically, Veterans Village is kind of like our Field of Dreams. We are building it, and the community is coming to us and helping us. So we're not hiring psychologists. We're asking psychologists that live in Kansas City, can you come and give an hour to a vet a week? And they're stepping up and coming. We have, you know, we have doctors who want to provide free examinations. We have people that want to come and garden with the veterans. We have people that want to come teach cooking classes to the veterans. We have people that want to teach sewing classes to the veterans. We have people that want to host reading time to the veterans. We have yoga instructors reached out and want to teach PTSD yoga to our veterans. It's been so humbling to see the community response just because we asked.
Hmm. Let's go back to the tiny house village, the village that you're
sure.
building that will welcome and provide housing for these veterans.
Sure.
What is what will be inside each of these tiny houses? And for our listeners not familiar with tiny houses, well, let's start with that. What is a tiny house? What defines a tiny house?
The exact definition, I think it's under 600 square feet. I'm not sure, so please don't quote me on that. I'm definitely not an expert on tiny houses. But our tiny houses, our tiny houses are 240 square feet. They're one story. They're very basic because not in what they do, but they're very basic in amenities. So we have, you know, we have a bed. Our houses are insulated. They're built to the same standards that new homes in Kansas City are being built to. So we're held to the newer building codes. We have to pull permits and build these houses just like a contractor that builds a regular house would. They have a full bathroom with a sink. We could put a tub in some. Most of them have a shower, a stand-up shower in it. And then we have a toilet. And then they have a refrigerator, a kitchen sink, an oven. And granted, they're a little small refrigerator, not a tiny one, but a medium-sized refrigerator. An oven. They have a cabinet with the houses will be full of pots, pans, dishes, and everything that the veteran wants or will need. They'll have a computer with free internet. They're going to have a free TV that they come in and it's all theirs. And when they move out, they can take anything in that house with them. Basically, they have everything that they would have in their own apartment except for a laundry facility, which will have a group laundry facility.
How then, walk me through this process that helps mm-hmm. helps them transition. So they move from homelessness, living on the streets or wherever they may be, to living in this veterans village with
right.
these nice amenities, to what's the next step? How are they prepared to move on to that next step of living a sustainable, independent life?
It takes a lot of work. And not just by the veterans. Well, first of all, we're not forcing anyone to live in the village. We're offering them a key. And, you know, if you want to come in, come in. And then we're going to let them stay there for the first 2 weeks. We're not even going to do anything more than observe and talk and get to know them. And what we want them to understand is we're not treating them like clients. They're not clients. We're their partners. We're their partners in their recovery from homelessness. Not only that, but we're going to be their social support. We're going to be their friends. We're going to be there for them. And we're going to stand beside them. And it all starts, the first step is getting them into the village. Once they come in, it's been establishing trust with them. We don't want to force things on them. We don't want them to feel like they're in an institution. We want them to feel at home. We want them to relax. We want them to get out of the survival mode that they've been in on the street. And then what we're going to do is everything starts with paperwork. mm-hmm. So we take care of the birth certificate and the identification because you can't get a job unless you have that. You can't get a house unless you have all of your paperwork done. And we start with paperwork and we move forward and we assess all the areas they need help in. We've got business leaders in the community and people that work at banks that want to do one-on-one financial counseling with the veterans the whole way through their stay and teach them about finances and financial management and help them. We can start employing them right away if they want to work because we're starting a business building tiny houses that employs homeless veterans. And we've already got one house on order right now, so it's kind of fun. But they can start working right away and start having income. And restoring dignity, restoring respect, and more importantly, is being there with them the whole way and understanding that they're human beings and they're gonna make mistakes. If they have an addiction, we have to understand that recovery is gonna take a long time, and we have to be there for them. If they have mental health issues, we have to understand and have compassion for these people that it's going to take a little while to get the meds right. And we just need to be there for them and work with them through that. So our clinical director will be observing the veteran and creating what we call a recovery plan, treatment plan. And then we'll be having people that are working with the veteran one-on-one to help get them through that. And it's a slow process, and we're going to move at the veteran's pace. That's the bottom line. You know, we're going to push them along, but we're also not going to force them to where they want to cut and run and leave. We want to be there and work at their pace. We want to create a safe place for them to stay. And basically, in my experiences, you just start working and you just be there for the veteran, and you earn their trust. And then you work with them, and it will be successful. And we're hoping that the group living together, we're creating, because we're building 10 houses, a housing 10 at a time, we're hoping we create a group of mentors that when the next 10 veterans come in, these guys can help guide them through the recovery. Now they got somebody that's a little further down the road than they are, helping them get to that position they're at.
Why are volunteers essential to this program?
Volunteers are essential for several reasons, but the main reason why volunteers are essential is because it shows the veteran that the community cares. And volunteers are people that are willing to give their time. They're not being forced to do it. They're not getting paid to do it. These are people that are doing it because it's genuine and it's out of their hearts. And the veterans have, you know, we've had volunteer events where we had homeless vets working beside other veterans that volunteered. And it was really cool because nobody called them a homeless veteran. You know, they felt normal. They were treated like everyone else, and everybody talked to them and hung out with them. And it was just a beautiful thing. And that's what we want. We want that stigma, that word homeless. We want it gone. You know, we just want them to be viewed as veterans that serve their country.
So volunteers who are compassionate and understanding are certainly essential to this. Are there other things that are key to the success of this program?
For us, the keys to our success really in the initial stages have been the local business community, and I can't say it enough, is city government support has been outstanding. We wouldn't have gotten the land without city government support. We would not have pushed our plans through city council and been rezoned and permitted to build without their support. The city government support has been huge. They were willing to change, you know, we build under what's called a cottage code. So our homes have to be a minimum of 220 square feet, and ours are 240. So without the city council, we never would have been as far as we were. The mayor support, the local government support has been one of the keys to our success. That's how we got our plans approved within city limits.
Now, this is all taking place in the greater Kansas City area, correct?
Yes, it is.
How can those who are listening step up to volunteer if they're in the Kansas City area and find out more?
Oh, yeah. If you're in the Kansas City area, you can go to veteranscommunityproject.org and you can sign up to volunteer, or you can message us on Facebook at our Facebook page, which is just Veterans Community Project. You do a search, you'll find it. We get a lot of inquiries from people that are wondering how to do this in their city. And my first suggestion to everyone that wants to do this in their city is get involved with the people providing services to the homeless in your city right now. Volunteer. Become aware of the problem. Become familiar with the problem. Understand the need in your community, and then decide how you want to attack it. We were working within the problem, and you know, we didn't feel it needed this. We felt compelled to do this. We felt you know, we had to do this. There was just no choice for us. You know, just saying no and watching families and people, human beings suffer, and it just did not sit well with us. And I think that it starts with understanding the needs of the homeless in your community and understanding the reasons. You know, not every community is the same with their homeless population and how that they're handled, how the system handles them, how the system treats them, how the law enforcement interacts with the homeless. It's different in every community. And I try to tell people, you know, understand your community needs and your community problems is always the first step.
Kevin Jamison, COO and co-founder of Veterans Community Project Kansas City. Kevin, thanks so much for being my guest today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.